Have you ever considered getting Botox or filler or even an eye lift? These procedures are no longer the exclusive domain of celebrities. So what do you need to know if you're thinking about any of these procedures? Joining us in the studio is, and returning, is Dr. Damon Chandler. He is a board-certified oculofacial plastic surgeon, and he's going to tell us about all the latest stuff having to do with facial and eyelid surgery. Hello, nice to have you back.
Appreciate the opportunity to come back. Thank you again.
All right, so you are a board-certified oculofacial plastic surgeon, Duke, Harvard, and Penn trained. What does it mean to be an oculofacial plastic surgeon?
That's a great question. Thanks. Basically, my training was in plastic surgery throughout my career, and my specific focus is on cosmetic eyelid surgery. One of the most common procedures I perform is called blepharoplasty for droopy, saggy, baggy eyelids. General plastic surgeons train in cosmetic surgery all over the body, like liposuction, breast surgery, and other kinds of procedures. But my entire focus is on the face and on eyelid, brow, and cheek procedures. So it's what I do day in and day out in my life.
Well, you know what's interesting these days is it's not just the movie stars and superstars who get surgery like this, but a lot of everyday folks are resorting to this kind of surgery as well. Isn't that true?
Absolutely true. We're certainly living in a time where cosmetic surgery has been embraced in a way very different than in the past. One of the reasons might be, as you alluded to, people's focus on appearance, but also the development of new techniques and a modern approach to cosmetic surgery, where it's certainly my goal every day to try to make patients look refreshed, more youthful, and healthy looking, as opposed to the negative stigma of cosmetic surgery in the past, where certain movie stars were looking very overdone and very unusual looking.
Right, and I think that's the fear that people might have if they're considering this kind of surgery, because there is that stereotype of the Joan Rivers who was constantly looking astonished, and that kind of full pulled back look that that really didn't look just didn't look natural.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think cosmetic surgeons such as myself really have focused our careers on trying to make strides to improve that. I might ask any of the listeners to take a look at my website, where they can take a look at some of the before and after pictures and really study and take a look to see that the goal today is to make people look really great and feel really great about themselves without looking overdone, unusual, plasticky looking, which certainly there are a certain famous people that were certainly known for that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, in addition to doing this eyelid surgery, you also do other stuff like Botox and fillers. And I'd like to talk a bit about that, because that's becoming a very commonplace practice. And so often you'll find a Groupon, and, you know, people can go on Groupon and they can go to someplace, a spa, and have Botox applied. Why is that not such a great idea?
Certainly, I think the non-surgical options that are available to cosmetic surgeons today really are an incredible advance, and it's a really wonderful thing for people today. What it had existed in the past were early efforts by plastic surgeons to do their best, but there were limitations. Things like silicone injections into lips, and that kind of a treatment had problems. The goal was good, but the outcome was not. And the modern choices that are available today, there are certain cosmetic products that we call facial fillers, in addition to Botox. Certainly one of the more common examples of this are filling of the lips. And so we see that in certain celebrities. We know that the famous Kylie Jenner is very noted for the appearance of her lips, as was Angelina Jolie in the past. And to speak about your other point, I think the issue here is that although these treatments are pretty quick and quick recovery back to work, and they're not quote-unquote surgery, it still involves some doctor who's going to be, you know, manipulating your face. And so when it comes to that decision as to who you'd want to be doing that, seems to me that a board-certified cosmetic surgeon would be the right choice. And trying to pick by price or some kind of a deal that's available on the internet may not be the best option.
So often you see among people who use Botox a look of just it just doesn't look natural. People's lack of expression is sometimes a little bit disturbing. How do you avoid that?
I think the key point of all of the work that I do, and specifically the non-surgical treatments like Botox or fillers, is that it's still a very artful treatment. There is no one-size-fit-all kind of pattern. And I think that what I'd advise anyone seeking these kinds of treatments is to establish a good rapport with a cosmetic surgeon that has a kind of worldview that's in line with yours. So if you seek a more natural, non-artificial type look, then the better that doctor studies your face and gets to know you, that will allow him or her to tailor the treatment for you. And I think that's the key thing. And so any kind of a option where it would be a sort of a cookie cutter approach is not going to be right and can certainly result in those things that you said. But for sure, there are choices and an artfulness to this treatment that can certainly prevent that very unnatural appearance to the brows or unnatural appearance to the smile, those sorts of things.
You know, that kind of brings us to an interesting aspect about you. You are not your typical surgeon in the sense that you actually originally were an English major and you've studied art history all of your life. And I think that sort of aesthetic point of view, does that have some impact on how you approach your work?
I certainly like to think so. It's the study of art history has been a great love of mine for a very, very long time. Started really in college when I was exposed to the work of the Spanish artist Salvador Dali. I've had the great fortune in my life to travel much of the world and see some of the great art around the world. And for sure, there is no universal standard of beauty. And through the study of art, I think I have really examined, you know, what are the options and possibilities, cross-cultural looks at beauty, and what are the aesthetic goals of the face. And for those reasons, certainly that was part of my decision to choose cosmetic plastic surgery when I was deciding what kind of surgeon I wanted to be.
If you were to speak to someone out there in the listening audience who's interested in having this kind of surgery, whether it's oculofacial plastic surgery, the eyelid surgery that we were talking about earlier, or considering Botox or fillers or any of those types of practices that you are involved with, what are some basic questions that you think that person needs to ask themselves before going forward?
I think they can take a look at a picture of themselves and try to focus on what they think is most important, what really is concerning to them. And then if they can come in and relate those concerns to me, what I always ask is any patient that wants to, they can come for a consultation. It doesn't mean that they're going to be signing up for surgery or even having any kind of treatment, but it gives them the opportunity to meet with me. I take a picture of their face. We study it together. We take a look and think about what the possible options are and their choices. So I think the one key thing would be to see what you think is most important for yourself. You could also ask my opinion, which I'm happy to give. Then really to spend time with the doctor that would be treating you to, as I mentioned before, to make sure that you are sort of aligned in goals. I think that's really the key thing, because every person, every face is different. It's one of the greatest lessons I've learned in my whole medical career, is that every person's face, their anatomy, their skin, and how they have aged through life is very different. So I think it's a key thing to go and meet with your doctor and make sure that you feel comfortable with him or her and what the decisions are that you're going to make.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. And I would like to mention that you can be reached on your website. What is that?
My website is www.chandlercosmetic.com. And that's a perfect opportunity to read about me, about a little bit more about my background, all my contact information, and most importantly, to take a look at the before and after work that I'm so proud of.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Damon Chandler, who is a board-certified oculofacial plastic surgeon, and he's located in Jenkintown and Morristown. If you'd like to find out more about that, you can go to his website, and that website one more time is
www.chandlercosmetic.com, And I'd really like to thank the opportunity again, Lorraine, to speak to your listeners.
Well, great to have you back. We're all so very fascinated by all of this stuff. We all want to look young. We all want to look youthful. What we have to do is we have to be well-informed before we undertake any of these types of procedures. And this is a little bit of information to help you make your decisions. Dr. Damon B. Chandler, board-certified oculofacial plastic surgeon. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you again so much.
I'm Lorraine Ballard-Morrell.